Sport der Wissenschaft. Ein Podcast rund um die Themen Sport und Gesundheit.
Hey, ich habe hier irgendwie eine neue Sportart entdeckt.
Gesundheit. Was ist das eigentlich? Wissen wir das nicht alle?
Spoiler. Mit den Widersprüchen der Zeit und der Gesellschaft auseinanderzusetzen.
Eine Initiative des Zentrums für Hochschulsport der Goethe-Universität Frankfurt. Und nun viel Spaß bei einer weiteren Folge von Sport der Wissenschaft.
Hello and welcome all listeners to a further episode. My name is Sabrina Littke and I am a student employee from Center for University Sports in Frankfurt. And today's episode will be about medication taking for diabetes under specific conditions. And for that, I'm happy to have Muiwa Omonaye from Deakin University here today. He's going to present research in public health field. But first of all, I want to introduce him. Muiwa is a research fellow in the Center for Patient Safety Research at Deakin University with an Eastern Health Partnership. And he has expertise in topics such as intersectional health with people in the area of medication adherence to ensure positive health outcomes, particularly in chronic diseases such as HIV and diabetes. So thanks for joining the podcast, Muiwa. And yeah, first, you can give all the listeners more information about your background.
Yes, thank you so much, Sabrina. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this podcast. I really appreciate it. So just to give more information about my background. So I trained as a pharmacist in Nigeria and I worked, you know, for several years in the area of public health in Nigeria, working in the area of HIV. I worked in the area of polio eradication. I also worked in the area of TB prevention and control. And subsequently, I did Master of Public Health at Walden University. And in 2016, I came to Australia to do my PhD at Deakin University. So in 2020, I obtained my PhD at Deakin University in Melbourne, in Australia. Also, I have a certificate in leadership and management in health from the University of Washington as well. So currently, so since the completion of my PhD in 2020, I have started working at Deakin Center for Quality and Patient Safety Research, so where I have been involved as a research fellow, and also I've also worked as a research fellow managing some other research projects, particularly in the School of Health and Social Development, also at Deakin University. So in 2022, after a successful job interview, I also got employed as a research fellow at Deakin University Center for Quality and Patient Safety Research, Eastern Health Partnership. And so that's where I've been working up to this very moment.
Thank you so much for your personal insights. What do you have actually for research interests?
Okay, yeah. So my research interests, you know, just like what you said, you know, at the beginning of your introduction. So I have unique expertise in the area of intersectional health. So which means I have experience working with people who intersect with low income, low education, people with disability, and people from cultural and linguistically diverse backgrounds. So I also have interests, you know, in the area of medication adherence, medication use, medication taking, particularly in vulnerable and diverse populations living with chronic health conditions such as HIV and diabetes. So that's my, I also have interest in health services research. So looking at access, you know, doing research that has to do with people having access to quality health services. So yeah, so this my area of interest that cuts across public health, healthcare, health services, and health systems as well.
All right. And what research topic are you going to talk about?
So the research I want to talk about is a research which I completed recently. So that was the first research project that I got funding for, you know, after the completion of my PhD. So this was more like a seed funding, you know, from, you know, from the university for me to undertake this particular research. So this research looked at medication taking behaviors in from people of Vietnamese background living in Australia. So people of Vietnamese background with type 2 diabetes living in Australia. So I was to look at their medication taking behavior. So yeah, so that's the touch topic, which yeah, I would like to talk about.
Yeah, great. And how actually your research topic was developed? So how did you come up with the idea to do research on this?
Yes. So, you know, as I've said, I have interest, you know, working with people from cultural and linguistically diverse backgrounds, and also working with people from vulnerable population group. So, for example, my PhD was focused on medication adherence among pregnant women who are HIV positive, you know, in Nigeria, and also looked at it within the context of sub-Saharan Africa. So I've, you know, over the years, so my research and my professional work have been around this area. So, so for this particular work here in Australia, and because I'm very conversant, you know, with the literature around medication taking or medication adherence in chronic health conditions such as diabetes as well. So based on evidence from the literature, you know, here in Australia, you know, this particular ethnic group have high prevalence of type 2 diabetes. And there has been limited research has been conducted in this group. So, which means that very limited research has been conducted, despite the fact that they have high prevalence of type 2 diabetes, which is even higher when you compare that to, you know, to other groups in Australia as well. So, and of course, specifically, there have not been any research that have been done to examine their medication taking behaviors. So that was how, you know, this research topic was developed. So it was based on the fact that there were gaps in the literature that shows all that I've said earlier now.
All right, very good. Yeah, you can start actually explaining how you build up your study. I think this is very interesting.
Yeah. So talking about this particular topic, which I've said, you know, looking at medication taking in people of Vietnamese background living here in Australia who have type 2 diabetes. So, you know, just to give an overview, type 2, well, diabetes, you know, is one of the greatest health condition that is facing the Australian health system. So that is very important. And also diabetes is one of the fastest growing chronic health condition, you know, all over the world. So which shows that diabetes, you know, is a very, very important or very serious health condition, you know, even on a global scale. So here in Australia as well, you know, just to give an overview, people from the Vietnamese background also have high prevalence of type 2 diabetes. Okay, so they have prevalence of up to 15%, so which is even higher than the national when you compare their prevalence within this population to the national type 2 diabetes prevalence level in Australia. So which is something that is of very concern. Then in addition as well, when you look at the medication taking or medication adherence, you discover that most of the people from cultural and linguistically diverse backgrounds, evidence, from the literature shows that medication taking, particularly for chronic health condition, is also not good, which means that adherence is poor. So based on all of these, so it's important to examine what is the medication taking behavior is, particularly within this group. So based on that, we thought about the aims of the study. So the aim of the study was to identify the medication taking behaviors and the associated beliefs, and also to identify the barriers and enablers of diabetes medication among the study population groups. So this,
maybe I can ask a question here. Actually, I was wondering what the medication, you said that there's a poor medication in the ethnic groups, and I wonder how do you mean, or what do you mean with a poor medication adherence? Like they are taking non-medication, or they're taking other medication, different ones, which may not work the same as other people or population are taking?
Okay, all right. So thank you for that. So what I'm saying is that, when it comes to when people have chronic health conditions like type 2 diabetes, it means that they need to take their medications every day. Okay, so and for you, in order for you to have excellent health outcomes, in order for you to control your diabetes, either you are taking your oral medications or you are taking your insulin injections. So when we say that there is poor adherence, so we are really saying that you they are not taking the medication as actually being prescribed. So which means that there are missed doses. Okay, so not taking them at the time that is required for the person to take it. So that's the context in which I'm talking from. So now for those, that I also mentioned, people from other ethnic groups. So I'm talking in terms of general. So when we, in terms of general medication taken in other chronic health conditions, including type 2 diabetes. So that is,
Right, thank you. So what was the aim of your study?
Okay, so as I said, so the aim was to identify medication taking behaviors and associated beliefs and barriers and enablers of medication taking. So these were the aims of the study. Okay, so do you want me to still go ahead?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right. So these are the aims. So now for this particular study, we had a theoretical framework that was used that underpinned the study. So the theoretical framework that was used is called the theoretical domains framework, so which is popularly known as TDF. So now the TDF, it's a very comprehensive framework that can help that can help to identify the barriers and the facilitators, including the beliefs that may influence medication taking behaviors, as well as desired behavior change. In addition to that, the TDF, one of the advantages that it has is that beyond being able to identify the individual factors such as beliefs and motivations, the TDF can also help you to identify the social and environmental factors that influence health behaviors. So this was the framework that was used. So which means that this framework, you know, will be used to interpret and to analyze, you know, the results or our findings. So so this was the framework that we use. Then in addition to that, so also in terms of the methods that we use. So this was a mixed method approach. So which means that mixed method means that we used both a qualitative approach and a quantitative approach in the same study. So for this particular study, we used what they call a convergent parallel mixed method approach. So which means that the quantitative and the qualitative research process were taking place concurrently. Okay, so for the quantitative aspects of the project, we had an online cross-sectional survey. Okay, so we had an online cross-sectional survey, you know, to get information from people with type 2 diabetes of Vietnamese background. So for this particular cross-sectional survey, we collected data using standardized questionnaires. Okay, so we had standardized questionnaires that we used in collecting the data. So some of the questionnaires that we used was in the area of health literacy. So we had standardized questionnaire that collected data, you know, relating to people's health literacy. We also have questionnaires that collected information relating to people's beliefs about medicine. Okay, so we also had questionnaires that collected information relating to how people perceive their illness. Okay, then we also have the same questionnaire. We also have a questionnaire that also collected data about people's level of adherence to their medication. So that was what, you know, just in a nutshell, what we did in terms of the cross-sectional survey.
Yes, yeah. So it's very interesting. Maybe I can come back to a bit more insights to the questions of whether the people think that the medication helps or not. Are these kind of questions as well included in the questionnaire?
Yeah, so for the questionnaire that we used, you know, to collect information on the kind of medication they take, that is to look at medication adherence. Yeah, so we asked, you know, questions about the type of medication they are taking, that is the number of medications that they are currently taking, whether they have missed taking their medications in the last 7 days. So those are the kind of questions that we have relating to the questionnaire that has to do with medication adherence. But for all the other questionnaires, like the one that is related to illness perception, so here we want to find out about how they perceive type 2 diabetes. So what is their, you know, belief, okay, mm-hmm. about, you know, what caused you know, the disease, you know, the illness itself. Then for the one that talked, you know, just in a nutshell, okay, like the one that talked about health literacy, so we want to know whether, you know, we want to understand, we wanted to assess their understanding and their capacity to assess and to comprehend or evaluate and apply health information regarding healthcare, disease prevention, and health promotion. So those are the kind of questions, that we have in those questionnaire. So in addition to that, that was with respect, to the cross-sectional survey. So in addition to that, we had the qualitative aspect of the study. So the qualitative aspect of the study involved having interviews with people with type 2 diabetes, also having a focus group discussions with healthcare professionals like doctors, pharmacists, and nurse diabetes educators. These are the people who are responsible for the care and treatment of people with type 2 diabetes in the hospital. So we also had a focus group discussions with them to help us to identify those things that they consider as barriers and enablers of medication taking, particularly within our study. So having done all of that, so we just talk a little bit about some of the results. So for the cross-sectional survey itself, our intention, was to have a large number. So we think that our sample size was that, okay, hopefully we're able to get up to 200 or more people, into the survey. However, that did not happen. So we were unable to achieve our sample size. So we were able to have, so the numbers that we had was less than 50. So which means that we could not do extensive quantitative analysis, such as regression analysis and all of that. So we only do descriptive analysis of the data. So so because of issues that we had, with the recruitment process, it was very difficult for us to get the number. So, but which is still okay. So overall, at least we're able to do some descriptive analysis. So, and based on, some of the survey responses that we had, we're able to discover that on the average, people typically had a higher than average health literacy. So that has to do with health literacy. Then, of course, in terms of people's belief about their medications, that is, their belief about their medications. So the survey responses indicated that people perceived the benefit of their diabetes medication outweighed their assessed concern. So which means that they perceived that the benefit of taking their medication, outweighs their, whatever kind of concern that they may have about the medication. So which is good. Mm-hmm. Then in terms of their understanding, well, in terms of their perception about the disease itself, okay. So overall, people indicated a moderate threat. So which means that people had a moderate threat in terms of their perception of type 2 diabetes, that is more of a moderate threat, to their health and to their well-being. So which is something that we also identify in the results. So, however, in terms, then also we also, from the survey responses, people identify that based on the responses, we discover that the three most important factors that the participants believed caused their diabetes were one, genetics, that is due to natural causes, as well as diet and lack of exercise. So, you know, these were the things, you know, that, you know, the three most important factors, you know, that, you know, that the people believed actually caused their type 2 diabetes. So with respect to the qualitative study, so we use, you know, the theoretical domains framework, which is the TDF. So the TDF, so based on the interviews that were actually conducted with the participants and the focus groups that were conducted with the healthcare professionals. So these data were analyzed, you know, together, and based on that, we were able to identify a wide range of themes about the barriers and or facilitators of medication taking. So because the TDF has 14 domains, so but we were able to map 13 out of the 14 domains. So those were, you know, that was the you know, the major outcome for that. So, and based on that, the most important domains were environmental and context and resources, emotion, social influences, and beliefs about the consequences of taking medication. Then also we have behavioral regulation and knowledge. So, which means that based on the using the TDF, we discover that the environmental context and resources was a major influence on taking medication. So, which means that if we look at it, so for example, people talked about access to medications in terms of the cost. So yeah, many people felt that, you know, that the cost of the medication was high, and as a result of that, they could not take their medications the way it, you know, it has been prescribed.
Yeah.
Okay. So that had, you know, so that was something that, you know, that we identified. Then in terms of things that has to do with emotion. So emotion, so people felt about taking their medication. So there's a lot of emotion about taking your medication every day. So people said that anxiety about the potential consequence of not taking their medication was a facilitator for taking the medication. So the anxiety about the potential, you know, consequences of not taking their medication, you know, enable them, you know, to take the medication. So which means that people felt that, look, if I don't take my medication, I may lose my fingers, I may lose my toe, you know, something, you know, bad may happen. And because of that, you know, they just, you know, stuck, you know, they just stuck, you know, to their medication and they didn't want to miss it. So yeah, so which is something, you know, to know. Then also the fear about the side effects of the long-term medication taking, this, you know, was like a barrier. So people also had fears, you know, about the side effects of the long-term medication taking. So people worry that, you know, that the medication, you know, that, you know, they were worrying, you know, look, will my stomach be able to handle this medication, you know, for, you know, for the long, you know, for the long term, since I've been taking it. Yeah. So these were some of the findings, you know, that we have. It's a very big outcome, but I don't know whether we have time to run through all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much for all of the insights. I have a few questions. First, when you told about the people are worried about the consequences of the disease or the side effects, and then you mentioned that they, kind of afraid be losing extremities. So is there actually a finding that because you compare like Vietnamese population to Australian, is there a number that they have a higher rate of losing or of these side effects?
Okay, all right. So yeah, our study did not compare this with the Australian population. Okay. So, but however, you know, when people don't take their medications, you know, for diabetes, one of the things that will happen is that, you know, people can have amputation of their limbs, you know, which can come as a result of diabetes food, you know, when, you know, when you have such kind of thing. So, yeah, so people, you know, based on the interviews we have, so people have seen, you know, some of the participants, they have seen what happened to other family members or to other friends who were not taking their medications and who have all these kind of complications, you know, of diabetes, and because of that, you know, they didn't want that to happen to them, and they were just, you know, willing to take their medications, you know, so which was good,
yeah. And the if you have like answers or when they have the medication perception of their own illness, are there in like another argument for that? You say like the people why they taking the medication, are there any arguments you find out why they're not willing to take those?
Okay, yeah. So so some of the other points, well, other results or other findings is that for example, people have this belief about the consequences. Okay. So some people believe that suboptimal medication taking have a negative outcome. So which means, but because of that, they took their medication.
Yeah.
However, some people, some people, did not also take their medication. So they were thinking that, okay, since they were missing they were missing their medications and they did not see the immediate impact of missing their medication. So, for example, you know, people say that, look, I've missed taking the medication for 2 weeks and I cannot see anything happening to me. So that kind of belief that, okay, missing medications for a few days does not have any kind of effect, any kind of negative effect. It's, you know, it is something that is not too good. That is not good, because if people keep on carrying on with that kind of belief, eventually they could experience negative outcomes. So they believe that missing medication does not have immediate negative consequences. It is a kind of a belief that can help, you know, that can further perpetuate the act of missing medications, and that is a barrier, you know, to medications.
I see. And I actually want to come in general up to why you chose to differ between these ethnical groups, actually, because you said as well, you found out that the most prevalence of diabetes is genetics and environmental surroundings. So why you think then it's very important to do studies in comparison with ethnical groups?
Yes. All right. So thank you so much for that. So as I've said earlier on, so for this particular ethnic group, so with very high prevalence of type 2 diabetes, and there is no any research that has been done to, you know, to know how people are taking their medications, you know, to know what are those factors that are serving as barriers, and what are those factors that are enablers of medication. So if those information are available, they can help to develop interventions, okay? Interventions that can help to improve medication taking in the population. Okay, so and that is why, you know, this particular study was, you know, thought, you know, to be of great importance, because it will help, you know, to provide evidence base to develop appropriate and appropriate interventions that, you know, that will be suitable within the context of the culture and the beliefs of the people that can help to improve medication taking for this particular ethnic group.
And do you know any informations about kind of guidelines from Vietnam? So when you say it's maybe an environmental thing, how people deal with the kind of all having medication adherence and how regularly they take the medication and how seriously they take or how seriously they think about their medication and consequences about the diabetes disease. Is it in Vietnam like, did they have another perception of the of diabetes in general? Are there any like different guidelines compared to Australia? That's why they kind of not or have another medication taking there.
Okay, all right. So thank you. So now for this particular study, it was mainly based on the Vietnamese group, you know, people living here in Australia. So which means that this was just, you know, within the context. So yes, so some of the factors that has that we have identified here in terms of the barriers and the enablers, perhaps they could be different for those people who, you know, for those people who are living in Vietnam. So that could be a there could be some difference. So we're yet to you know, take a look at maybe if there are any published work within that area that we can look and say, okay, what are the differences? Are there differences in terms of the barriers that you know, the Vietnamese here in Australia encounter? Are they different from those who are living in Vietnam, or are the facilitators of medication taking, are they the same, or they are different for Vietnamese who are living in Australia and those that are living in Vietnam? So that we are here to do. So I think, but that's something that, you know, is an area that can be further investigated. Yeah.
Mm, right. I see. So, but why did you then actually chose that? When it is like, or you found out that it's about the environment, and actually Vietnamese people are already living in the kind of Australian environment. So why did you did your research in this specific ethnic group and not like testing a population like people living in Australia in general?
Okay, all right. Okay, so why? So okay, yeah. So let me clarify the environment that you're talking about. So, you know, the, you know, we don't have time to, you know, to look at, you know, the framework. So the theoretical domain framework, which is the TDF, okay, has 14, domains. Okay. So those 14 domains are the, areas that could influence people's behavior. So, and one of those domains is what we call environmental context and resources. So, which means that you want to see the influence of the environment, okay, in terms of and the resources that is available to see how that impacts on the behavior of the people. So you have that. Then you also have things like belief about the consequences. We have things like knowledge as well. So these are part of the part of the domains that we have in the TDF. So based on the question you are saying now, so it is not I think from what you are saying, so the reason for this research is not what it is, that based on the findings or the evidence from the literature,
Yeah.
that this particular group have not been researched, even though they have high prevalence of type 2 diabetes. And because we know that consistent medication taking is very important for a successful and a positive health outcome. So it is important to look at these groups and being able to identify what could be some of the barriers that they face in terms of their medication taking, and also identify what are the facilitators of their medication taking. So this information in summary can help us to be able to develop appropriate interventions that could further, you know, that could address, you know, the barriers that they face, and also help to amplify the enablers, you know, of their medications. So I think maybe that helps to clear.
Yeah. Thanks for the explanation. Definitely. Have you any other discussion points you found out in your study where you thought like, oh, okay, this has to be more discussed, or yeah, maybe you can go on that.
Yeah. All right. So, so some of the, you know, high point, you know, of course, we also, you know, part of the result was also social influence, the impact of social influence of medication taking. So what is the influence of family, friends on people's medication taking and all of that, so which I didn't have time to talk about. So, but so talking about the you know, the major talking points will be in the area of emotion, because that is very important, because there's an emotional aspect of taking medications. Okay, so people take these medications and they need to take it every day of their life, so that comes with a lot of emotions, and sometimes if not most of the time, the emotions here are usually very negative. Okay, because some, you know, somebody will think, look, I need to take this medication every day, and sometimes there's you know, the fear, you know, that comes with the fact that, okay, what happens to me if I need to keep on taking this medication every day? So in this study, fear acted as a strong motivator of medication taking. Okay. But
maybe I have a question here as well. Is there, did you study or looked at the age of the population? Because maybe for kids, it might be even more difficult to remember on taking medication kind of every day. So is there any combination you did there?
Okay, yeah. So so for this particular particular study, so we look at adults.
Yeah, all right.
Who are 18 years and above, and based on the result and the findings, majority of the people were people who were above the age of 40 years, you know. So this is a disease that is more for people who are already older adults. So if I can put it that way, so that were not children.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Okay. And did you as well found out some limitations of your study where you thought, okay, next time or for further intervention, it must be considered?
Yes, so in terms of the limitation, yeah, so the major limitation we faced in the study was that we could not attain our target sample size, was not reached. So despite recruitment via multiple national and local means, using both English and Vietnamese language and survey translation. So these were some of the limitations that we faced. So as a result of that, we could not actually do what they call correlation analysis, you know, could not be conducted. Then also, some of the perspective and the responses, you know, that we obtained, well, because the interviews, we had interviews with about 23 people, so this may not be fully representative of the broader Vietnamese population in Australia. So our study has limitations, so we cannot generalize our findings, okay? So that is something that we need to take note as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you would like to tell to the listeners or about your study?
Yeah, so I think, you know, this study is very important, you know, particularly for people, because there are many ethnic groups that, well, people don't want to research on them. So it's very important that within the society, every ethnic group, should be given the same opportunity, for research activities, you know, to be conducted in them, in order to be able to identify those things that will help them with health. So that is very important. So that no group is left behind, particularly those groups that have, very serious health conditions that needs investigations, particularly like the one that I've talked about today.
All right. Thank you so much, Moiwa, for all of your explanation and insights of your study. And thanks to all listeners as well. I hope you can take some good things out of the episode.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sabrina. I appreciate it.
Hinweis. Denjenigen, die uns nun schon länger begleiten, wird unser neues Intro aufgefallen sein. Dabei handelt es sich um das Stück Overture to a New Age von Jan Dehan. Es wurde vom Symphonischen Blasorchester des Collegium Musicum der Goethe-Universität unter Leitung von Lisa Bodem eingespielt. An dieser Stelle einen herzlichen Dank an alle daran Beteiligten für die Unterstützung.